Oh, man, it's hard to get started after God stir your heart up like this. Open up your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 1. You all like black church. You know, you stay till you get a blessing. You know that? I like that, man. I was looking at my watch, man. It was almost 12 o'clock. I'm looking down there, and I said, no. Yeah, it is. I said, no. Yeah, it is. And I said, praise the Lord. I said, you guys stay and want a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Man, if I got started talking about your pastor and I when we first got saved, we'd be here till 6 o'clock tonight, that's for sure. So I want to give you what the Lord laid on my heart, but I sure appreciate your pastor. He was an answered prayer to me. I got saved, and I went in this big church. It was my dad's church. But I never got saved till a Bible believer came up there to work in the church, and he's the one that led me to Christ. And I started praying. I said, God, I need somebody like me. I need somebody. I didn't understand. I got in this big church. There was 3,000 people in the church. And I was excited about God. I was all shouting and all excited. Nobody's doing nothing. They thought I was crazy. I said, I need somebody like me. Well, there was the answer to prayer right there. Amen. And I thank God for that boy. When him and I both got saved, we scared them people to death. But we've stayed happy. We made a choice to serve God. Amen. From the Amen. Very start.
Amen.
Yeah. I don't understand people that wait and wait and wait and never get in. You're missing blessings all your life.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And get in with all your heart and serve God. Live for Him. He is life. The more you get close to God, the more life you have. Amen.
Amen.
I was praying. I said, Lord, where do you want to start at? Lord said to me, well, where would you start in the morning? I said, well, I will start reading in the Proverbs in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, I always do it. And if you don't, you're missing a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why there's 31, you know, 31 days. And if you miss the 31, read two of them or read it the next day. But make sure you get them all. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Lord gave me something out of Proverbs chapter 1. That's what you'd normally read in this year. And I've already heard testimonies of people having it hard last year. And I tell you what, same here. I mean, it's been real hard this year. And I thank you all for praying for my legs. I had both my knees replaced. This leg here, it got blown out when we were going to Bible school. And I had an operation down there. And when I got back out of the hospital, go in, your pastor picks me up and takes me out of the car. And I just got out of the hospital, just had all this operation here. And he goes, well, I'm about to lose you. So he picks me up in the air and he gets another grip. And my whole leg just went like that and it tore up anything inside. You know, but that was first of about six operations. But now I'm the Terminator, Bionic Man. I wasn't good. But anyway, I got a metal pole thing in here from here all the way down to here. And this whole knee is a metal knuckle. And I had to go to Pittsburgh to get this surgeon, you know, to work on me. But he's the guy that does the Steelers. And I thought that all the doctors went to three specialists. They turned me down and said, you're too bad a shape. And he looked at me and he said, oh, I've seen a lot worse than that. I was his 10,000th knee replacement.
Wow.
You say, why did trouble happen in your life? Through all the trouble and all the problems, I thank God. This is our anniversary, my wife and I. This is our anniversary. That woman right there, she took care of me. When I had this operation here, I had to be in bed for 3 straight months. Had ice on it 24 hours a day. It would melt the ice in 4 hours. That's how hot that leg stayed all the whole time. But here's the blessing. I got to lead, my wife and I got to lead my surgeon and his wife to Christ.
Amen.
Through
Amen.
All this stuff. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God, we brag on you and we brag on your name. We know that you did it all.
Amen.
God, would you get glory today? Would you help your word get out and get into my heart and every heart here like it needs to get? God, make us different.
Amen.
Don't let us be the same way that we came in. God, stir us up to go out there and do the work for you, God.
Amen.
Help us now, God, to preach your word for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, is probably one of the most scariest chapters in the Bible. The only scarier one is Luke 16 about hell. Amen.
Yeah.
But this chapter is so scary, If you do not listen to it, you will be damned. You will be destroyed in this life. It will tear you up, and I hope you get a hold of tonight, young or old, mostly young people. I've tried something different in my church. We have a little church up on top of a mountain. I don't know why God stuck me there. I grew up in D.C., you know, row houses. I'm up on top of a mountain, 1,400 feet up, and we only got, you know, 30, 40 people, you know, on a good day. I don't know why God stuck me there all these years, but I'm where God wants me to be. Amen?
Amen.
And that's where God wants me to be. But the reason I tell you that is even there with those people up there way up in the mountains, everything like that, I got little children already being destroyed by everything out there in the world, in the church, and I'm trying my best not to let that happen. Amen?
Yep.
So follow with me now. And I know if you don't have a Bible, there's one in your seat. You can get one. I want you to check me out.
Amen.
Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom. You got to know wisdom, especially if you're young. How are you going to know what to do? Well, you get a book, a holy book, written by wise people that were connected with God.
Amen.
And you can learn wisdom so you don't have to go over the same problem that other people have done. Amen?
Amen.
That's great.
Yeah.
Put next to that James chapter 1, verse 5, any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men.
Amen.
That's lost or saved.
Right.
Backslidden or right with God. God is so delighted. If you ask him for wisdom, he'll give it to you. Amen? All right, drop down to verse 5. A wise man will hear. Wonder who's wise today. You'll hear God's word today. If you're wise, man or woman, if you're wise, you'll hear God today. And what you should be doing is pray. Pray right there while you're listening to me. Say, Lord, let me get the word of God. Help me. Give me something.
Amen.
I want to hear from God. A wise man will hear, will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain into wise counsels. What a blessing that is.
Amen.
All right. When I think of that verse, I look at it, and I think about what God's done with wise men. The other day, you know, I'm preaching a Christmas story. You know, the wise men, the three wise men. It's the 25th of December, which is Christmas, right? We're in church, thank God, Sunday morning. We had an ice storm in the morning, but thank God we was able to have church. What would be 25 if you are listening? Who is listening? What would I be reading on the 25th? Proverbs 25, thank you, thank you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 25. We were talking about wise men, right? And I'm praying like I know your pastor does and praying. And by the way, keep praying for your pastor all the time. He doesn't know what to preach. He needs you to pray for him.
Amen.
So he'll know what to preach. Amen. It's hard to know.
Amen.
This is precious time. You know, the words of God are able to change your life.
Yeah.
Able to give you answers to prayer. They're able to get you through the hard parts in life.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important for the man of God that's preaching to be able to get to your heart. So he's got to know what to preach. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Proverbs chapter 25. Look at verse 2. It is the glory of God. Now, I'm reading this Christmas Day, right? It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, to hide it. But the honor of kings. You know, I was preaching on that morning. Three wise men. Three kings. What does it say? The honor of kings is to search out a matter.
Yeah.
You know what that means? It's an honor to take that holy book.
Amen.
And to search and to study and look things up and try to figure out what God's saying.
Yes, sir. Amen.
What a blessing that was to me. Man, I couldn't wait to give that. I was early in the morning, maybe 5 o'clock Sunday morning. I couldn't wait to say it to the church when I got there. Go back there to Proverbs 1. A wise man will hear, right? I mean, the wise man will listen. Now, if you're not wise in here, you ain't going to listen today.
Amen.
Like my dad used to say, you're listening to me, but you're not hearing me.
Amen.
You know what happens when somebody hears? They do something about it.
Yep.
You know, I use an illustration, I wouldn't do it now. But if I said, there's a fire, you know, I've done it before. I used to preach and do an evangelistic work for about 14 years, and I'd use that illustration. You know who the first ones would move towards the door? Kids. Who are the first in the kingdom of God? Children. Right? Amen. Amen. Look down, get back there, verse 5. A man will hear. And will not only hear, but what will he do? Increase learning. Right? Increase. What a blessing. What are you hearing? It's got to be God's word, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
The best thing you can do is hear God's word. I sold my wife's car the other day. We had it was a 10-year-old car. And I'm praying, I'm asking God whether I should sell or not. Christian man came up to me, wanted to buy my car, shocked me to death. It was more money. I sold it for more money than what I thought I could. It was just God. You know what that is? Faithful with tithing. Faithful with giving to others. And when I had a need, God goes back and he searches the record book and see how much you gave.
Yeah, amen.
And I tell you, you won't have no trouble at all if you put God first.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But then guess what? I sold the car, didn't I? I didn't have no car. I had my truck, but, you know, I can't ride my wife around in a truck all the time. It's so high in the air, she can hardly get in. I had to go over there and lift her up. That's embarrassing after church, isn't it? Got to go out there and take my wife, and I got to lift her up, put my hand under her butt, pick her up in the air, and take her and put her in the truck. That's embarrassing. Every time she says to me, when are you going to buy those ramps on the side, the step things? I say, oh, well, when get some money, you know. Well, you got to get some kind, or I'm getting me a ladder or something to get in this thing. The reason I'm telling you a story talking about hearing God, we're up at a dealership one day because of some friends looking at a car. And I'm sitting there and I hear this voice down. Isn't it easy to miss God?
Yeah.
I don't want to miss God. Well, you miss God? You miss the Holy One of the universe speaking to you.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and they're talking about money and percentages, and I do not know anything about money. I can't add. I've never been able to add. And the Lord says to me, quit worrying about the car and go do your job and start witnessing. I said, oh, yes, sir. I got up, got my tracks, walking around a dealership, and there's a girl over there in a glass cubular office, you know. And next thing I know, she says, come on inside, I want to talk to you. So I go in there and sit down. And she goes over these percentages and numbers with me. And I said it again. I said, Lord, what am I doing here? And the Lord said, look down at her hands. I looked down at her hands. She had tattoos on her hands. I'm not against tattoos. You know the story. I don't have to even hit it. You know what I'm talking about. I got an old gang tattoo on my arm. But you know what she was doing? She had a long sleeve dress. And it was a long, high top thing. And she had tattoos on the back of her neck, down sides of her neck, down her shoulders, down on her feet. And what she was doing was covering up her tattoos while she was talking to me. And she kept going like this. And the Lord says to me, look what she's doing. She's trying to cover her sins. You can't cover your sins with clothes. That's the old Adam and Eve thing.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Fig leaves. I said, oh, yeah, God, now I know why I'm sitting here. So when she finally gave me a break, I said, let me tell you something. If I get a car, it'll be because of the marvelous, wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And when I said that name above every name, she said, what? And she got pale white like a victim that had been in an accident, got pale white from shock. I thought she was going to faint right there. And she said, what do you mean? I said, Jesus Christ, his blood is the only thing that can forgive you of your sins. Took out a gospel tract, showed her, and I got this from my wife. It's real good. I don't know if you know this, but take this. The devil will let them read the story, but they won't pray the prayer. So make sure you take them to the end and say, make sure on this last page you pray the prayer. So I showed her to it, and I said, you make sure you pray that. And she said, that's the prayer. And I said, yes, that's the prayer. I said, that's the one that saved me and forgave me my sins. I said, that's the one that's keeping me living today. They gave me all the blessings. That's the reason I'm here today. I can't have any money in my pocket at all because that name above every name.
Amen.
She took that gospel tract. She said, I got a friend that needs that. I said that same thing when I was lost in Mark Hamilton. I said, I got this friend of mine who's going to kill himself. What's going to happen? I was talking about me. See, she's trying to lead me about her friend, but it's her that wanted, needed it.
Yeah.
I came back a week later. When I saw her just a little ways off, I knew she'd gotten saved. She didn't have that wild look in her face anymore, and I came over to her cubicle there, that glass thing, and I opened up the door. I said, how you doing? She said, fine. I said, did you pray that prayer back? She said, I sure did. And she said, I gave it to my friend, too. I said, what do you mean? She said, my boyfriend. He got saved, too.
Amen.
But if I hadn't heard the voice and listened to God, I would have never got those souls. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
What does God say? God says he wants you to have wisdom. He wants you to increase in learning, right?
Yeah.
He wants you to be a man of understanding. He wants you to learn things, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It says a wise man will hear and will increase and learn. Are you increasing in your Bible learning?
Amen.
Had a young man the other day came up to me and said, you know the Bible, you're supposed to know the Bible. I said, yeah. Well, when somebody says that, you start praying, Lord, help me say the right thing.
Yeah.
God, give me wisdom, what to say. He said, well, I got a verse I want to ask you about. I said, what is it? He said, Hebrews, you know. Run with patience. He said, how do you run with patience? I said, that's easy, which is a joke between me and God. I've been praying over that for about 5 years. How can you run with patience? You know what it is? It's simple. It's walking with God.
Yeah.
You walk with God, you're still running the race, but you're running with patience.
Amen.
You got to walk with God. How did that come? Praying, asking God for wisdom, and I heard God speak.
Yeah.
Now, look down. Go down to verse, I got to go back. Go back to verse 10. Look what it says next. Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know what that's saying? That's saying, sinners are going to come and try to trick you to be like them and try to get you to do evil, try to get you messed up. We have a young boy in our church, grew up in Sunday school class. And he grew on up, got up 18 years old, and went to a party afterwards, got on dope at that party. And he never got off. He just kept getting worse and worse. He ended up in prison. I went to see him in prison when I finally was able to go see him. I go in there, and I'm singing a song in prison. Oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's looking at you like you're nuts. I don't care. I'm so thankful I'm not in there.
Amen.
They don't know I should be.
Yeah.
But I'm not, thank God. Amen. Anyway, he comes out and he's crying. He's all, preacher, I ruined my life. I said, yep. I said, but listen, are you ready to stop? Well, what do you mean? I said, are you ready to quit? He said, yeah, but it ain't no use. I'm not ruining everything. I said, no, you didn't hear what I was saying. You didn't hear from God. Are you ready to quit your sinning now?
Yeah.
He said it again. Yes, but I'm failure. I'm no good. I've hurt my family. I said, no. Are you ready to quit sinning? To choose God.
Amen.
To do right.
Amen.
Are you ready now?
Yeah.
Finally. And he finally got a little strength. He sat up in the chair a little bit. He said, whatever God wants me to do, do it. He said, let me ask yourself, what was the first thing you did when you got saved? I said, he had long hair. I said, I cut my hair. He put his head down. He said, I'm going to get it cut. You know why I'm telling you that story? That boy got right with God in prison. Sunday school boy, grew up in church. You know what happened to him? He quit reading the Bible. If you don't read that Bible, you won't have the power to do right.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. My wife and I'm telling you, we got so discouraged, almost died 3 times this year. I got an infection in my neck, a lymph node jumped out about 2 inches. See, the danger is if you get an infection, Mrs. Nunn knows this, it goes right down there to your implants. And then you have to do it over again. I don't think I could go through it again. But anyway, I was in terrible pain. You know how her and I got through that? Sitting in the bed, praying for hours, reading the Bible, asking God to help us. Now, we didn't feel like reading it, and we were discouraged. And by the way, I thank God for your pastor. He's about the only one that even called me going through that, as far as my preacher brother go.
Yeah.
One more, Mike Schweitzer called me. But anyway, that Bible, the Word of God, pumped us back up, got us going. Who did that? God's holy words.
Amen. Yeah.
That verse says, sinners will entice thee. It's saying, don't listen to them. Let me tell you something. Right in your Bible, they will. If they say, verse 11, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us look privily for the innocent without cause. Let me tell you, they'll do it. What are you going to do? You're gonna have to make a choice. Do it today. We need to do it today. Right now, today. If the Holy Spirit tells you to get up right now and make a choice, do it now. Amen. Do it in your seat. Make a choice. Say, I'm going to live for God.
Yeah. Amen.
You got such a blessing. When him and I got saved, we didn't have any church to help us. We didn't have anybody to help us except for each other, but that was a blessing.
Amen. Yeah.
To hold each other up and keep going. You've got a church here to help you, keep you up, but what are you doing by yourself?
Yeah.
What are you doing when you're alone? You know how that boy got in trouble? He quit hanging around people from the church and started hanging around people that said they were Christians, but they got one foot in the world and one foot out there with the Lord, the Lord on Sunday. You know, they'd come to church on Sunday, pretending like they're right with God.
Yeah.
That ain't going to help you when you need power over sin.
Amen.
It ain't going to help you one bit, will it?
Amen.
It's like that story about that guy that was a runner. I didn't get to see it, but I heard the story. And he's in an Olympic race. I can't remember what year it was. And he was running, and his shoe came off. So he hesitated. Shouldn't have done that right there. He hesitated. Then he went back and tried to put the shoe on. Now, you know that cost him. Do you know that guy ended up in third place? Now, if he would have just taken off the other shoe and ran barefoot, he would have either came in second or maybe even first place. He was that good. But he wasted time fooling around with some weight, some sin, something that hindered him. And that's what you'll do this morning.
Yeah, come on.
Right.
Amen.
You know what? God wants you to put your life in his hands.
Amen.
And he will take care of you.
Yeah.
He loves you. I know you've heard this before, but some of you ain't listening. You know, I said to Dougie, that boy that got messed up in our church, he ended up in prison. I said, what happened? I said, what happened to all those times I was preaching to you? He said, you know, Pastor, I wasn't listening to you. He said, I was thinking about what I was going to do with my friends.
Yeah.
You know what the devil does? He steals God's word with other words.
Right. Go ahead, preacher.
I'm preaching the word, and he's putting other words in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's subtle. He'll say, remember that tire in your car? You got to get that fixed tomorrow. Right when the preaching's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember that job problem. You got to fix that problem at job. You got to call so-and-so. You got to put some money in the bank to cover that check. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's words to steal God's words.
Yeah.
Amen.
Don't let that happen to you.
Amen.
Man, you need a blessing in God, don't you?
Amen.
I read the story about this little girl. First time she was ever in church, she's 4 years old as a granddaughter. And the grandmother said, honey, I'm going to take you where the bathroom is in the church. First time she was there. Grandma's too old to go up and down these steps. So she took her to the back of the church, or downstairs in the back where the bathroom is. And she said, well, Grandma, why are you doing this? She said, because so you can go down here by yourself if you get sick. Sure enough, during the service, she leans over to the grandmother, and she said, Grandma, I'm getting sick. I'm about to throw up. She said, well, honey, you know where the bathroom is. Go. So the little girl goes. And about 5 seconds, she comes back. And the grandmother said, well, what happened? You didn't have time to go to the bathroom. She said, Grandma, I didn't have to. She said, what do you mean? She said, I went out there to the back of the church where the steps were downstairs. And she said, there was a box there, and it said, for the sick and the poor. So I pulled up the top, and I threw up in the box, and I put the lid back down. You know, that grandma, she said, I ain't never going back out the back of that church no more. I can't face that pastor. No, I'm going out the back way the rest of my life. You know, that's what you're doing in your soul right now. You're thinking about what you're going to do today. When God, the Holy Spirit, sent the message to your heart. You know what's funny about this? I'm losing my mind, much of everything else. But I left my Bible, my sermons, everything at the house. I left a bunch of clothes, shoes. I left a bunch of stuff at the house. Wasn't thinking, was I? You know what that means? Then God had this special for somebody in here. He didn't want me to preach that.
Yeah.
I've been through this before.
Yeah.
I know what it is. Amen. Now look. Go down to verse 23. Oh, I forgot to hit 17. Go to 17. You got to hit 17. You got to hit 17. I got to hurry. Amen. Surely in vain. What's the next two words?
The net.
The net. Young people, I want to hear somebody. You know, what's the net? Today's word. What's the net? There you go. It's an internet, right? Internet. All right. How do I know that I'm right? You know, you think out there, all these preachers, they think up all these words, and they just mix this stuff together. Nothing, it doesn't mean that. Let's see. Okay? Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Okay, take your Bible, go to chapter 7. Chapter 7, let's see, make sure I'm telling you the right thing. Chapter 7. Look at verse 6. Chapter 7, verse 6. You know, I just heard them pages turn in the Bible. You know what that is? That's you walking in the temple there, and the lights don't click on. That Holy Bible just clicked on when you turned to it. Now, will you take it and listen to it and obey it? Here it is, 7 verse 6. For at the window, what's the name of the systems that run most computers? Windows. You know, God deals in words. I got another one for you. Keep reading. For at the window of my house, I look through my casement. Women don't know what that is, but a man does. He puts windows and puts a window in a casement. It's the frame around a window. You know, that TV screen is held in by a casement. It sure is. I'm telling you it is. And you know what the devil's done today? Now go back to 123. The devil has electronically put you in places God don't want you to be. And it's taken and stolen your spiritual life and stolen the joy and happiness you should have for God. He said it up here. It possesses you. And hold on, I heard about this granddad, had all the family over there. He's trying to call them to eat dinner at Thanksgiving. Nobody would come. He took a bag and he went around there, but all the kids, the grandkids, he collected all their cell phones, all their iPads, everything else, everything that they had, put it in the bag. And he said, now we're going to have fellowship with God and dinner.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, look, don't get me wrong. I know you got to use some of today to even run things. I know that. But don't let it possess you. You're going to have some time where you cut that thing off and spend time with God's word, not electronic devil words that'll mess you up. How many of you have had, we had this one time in school, a homeschooling, a pornography thing popped up right out of nowhere. And you're supposed to have all these firewalls. Ain't that an interesting word? You know what this is? This is a firewall to protect you. Anyway, it popped up even without all that, the safeties in there, it popped up anyway. Ah, boy, what a scary thing. We was up at, well, let me keep reading the rest of the verse. Turn you at my reproof. What does that mean? That means God's speaking to you right now. And if he's hit something in your life that's wrong between you and him, that's a reproof. So he's asking you to turn to him. Don't stay where you are or turn the other way.
Yeah.
Turn to him. Turn to my reproof. Why is that so, such a warning? Why is it so scary? Behold, I will pour out my spirit. I will make known my words unto you. Remember the first part when we were reading there, the first part in verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. God's going to make known his words to you if he sees you down in your heart turning to him.
Amen.
Now the light's been turned on. God's already hit you with something. You can't help it. God hit me with something when they were singing. In my heart.
Amen.
It was a reproof, right? Now here, watch now. This is scary. 24. Because I have called and you refused. Uh-oh. Something happened between 23 and 24, didn't it? He asked the people reading his word or hearing the word to turn to him, and he would pour out a blessing, but they didn't listen. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set it not all my counsel. See, you put it aside for your own counsel. Devil's slick, isn't he? He'll say this. Yeah, that's right. Everything that preacher says is right, but you ain't got time right now. You got to hurry up and go. What do you got to do that's more important to do what God says?
Yeah.
It'll change your life. Had a young boy in our church, and he's had every kind of trouble in the world. And I finally had to rebuke the boy. You know, I snuck down there and saw him, found out he's drinking and a bunch of other stuff, lying to me. So I rebuked him and told him, I said, God's going to take everything away from you, and you're going to lose everything you got. And I just reamed him out and left him. The Lord said, leave him alone. I didn't call him, but I've seen him for a year. He showed up in the church a year later. And guess what? He got right with the Lord. He started coming to church. He wasn't in church 3 weeks, and God answered five big prayers for him. I mean big. He got a car given to him. Oh, somebody said, well, it ain't new. I tell you, it's the best car he ever had. It was given to him. He had a house that worked out. He didn't have money to get a house, and a Christian-owned house became the bank and let him have that house. He's now paying rent to have that house. That's a miracle.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He had great other prayers than that. And why do I say that? Because he was in verse 24. I had called to him, but he refused. I stretched out my hand, no man regarded. But he went back to 23 and turned at the reproof.
Amen.
But why waste a year? You got a chance right now today.
Yeah.
See, the scary thing about sin is you can't get back when you want to.
Amen.
Some of you, and I'm included, I couldn't have got back unless some other Christian helped me, some other church had helped me, somebody praying for me. You can't get back on your own. Here's the most scariest verse. Verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. That's God laughing at you. I don't want God laugh at me. Do you? Man, I don't want that. I want God. I want his attention, especially when I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
When I need God. You see me the other day, I opened my fat mouth. I told this lady I'm trying to help get in church. I said, it has a sewage problem. I said, oh, I can fix that. I should have never said that. I think we get ourselves in trouble. Don't mean to saying things, you know. Next thing I know, I've got this septic thing tore up underneath this toilet and everything, and I can't even get on my knees or anything like that. I got poop everywhere, all over the place, and I'm in trouble. And I'm not telling you, I'm being nice when I say poop everywhere. I am. And I prayed out loud. I said, oh God, I need help. Would you please help me? Man, I'm glad he didn't laugh at me. I sure am glad he didn't laugh. I think it would have broke me if he'd laughed at me. I'm not kidding. Because I'm in a mess. I'm in a trouble. I done blew my mouth off. Oh, we fixed that all the time. We. That was when I was with him. That was years ago. Amen. Anyway, guess what? The Lord said to me, put a garden hose up in it. Now, you know, you men, that don't make sense. You got a clogged pipe to put a garden hose in. That's going to come back out. But I listened to what God told me. I'm in trouble.
Amen.
I know I didn't listen to it. I didn't pray first. I should have said, well, let me pray what we can do about this thing first. No, I blew my mouth off that I could fix it. Well, I'm in trouble. So I did what the Lord said. I said, told the lady, the spigot thing, the handle was way around the trailer. I said, turn it on just for a couple seconds. Oh, ye of unbelief. And turn it right back off. She turned it on, and something that was in there went plop. I heard it go plop. Through inside, not outside, inside. And guess what? I told her, turn it on full blast. She turned on full blast, and that hose cleared that pipe. Now, I know it wasn't the water hose. I know it was God.
Yeah.
One of those angels got dirty somehow up in there in heaven and stuck his hand way down there or something. I don't know what it was. But aren't you glad that God don't laugh at you? How do you get like that? By doing what he said. Now listen, are you listening to me? You've had a good time. Your soul's been stirred. You've had singing. But the real work is the Holy Spirit working on your heart.
Yes, sir.
And he wants to answer prayers for you. And he wants to save you if you're lost in here today. And he wants to do great, mighty. He said, well, my family ain't saved. Well, you're the lighthouse to them. You got to get help in here. You got to do what God wants you to do. You got to come and get back in fellowship with God. Amen. Don't worry about people and what they look at you and say. Yeah. One guy said to me, I'm not going to go up there in front of everybody. They all think I'm right with God. I said, so what? God knows you ain't right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Go ahead and get right.
Amen.
God can do anything for you. Amen. Anything. I read this true story. You talked about the love of God. I read this true story the other day about a woman. This is back in 1950. And she's reading the newspaper. She went back to her hometown. Why'd she go back? She was, her and her husband were stationed in Washington, D.C. And her husband got killed in World War II. So she took her little boy, about 3 years old, and went back to her hometown. When she got to the hometown, she was looking at the ads in the newspaper. In the newspaper ad, it was 2 weeks before Christmas. You know what the ad said? This is a true ad, what the ad said. The ad said this. We have a little boy. I didn't read it right. Does anybody have a little boy that we could borrow for Christmas? We had a little boy, but we had to let him go to heaven. It's so lonely now. We're asking, is there anybody out there that would let us borrow their little boy to make our Christmas complete? She was sitting there reading that thing, and she had been saved, but she'd been away from God for years. And she started thinking, I have a little boy, and we don't have enough for Christmas. She called up, found out that the man was living with his mother there at the house. It was his wife that died of cancer. She ended up going out at the house with that little boy, and they had one of the greatest Christmases they ever had. You say, why is that such a great story? That report was written 30 years later. She ended up marrying that man. He was a saved man praying for a wife. She was a saved woman, not right with God, but listened and answered that little plea. God tapped on her shoulder and said, you could do that. You could take that little boy over there. And God blessed her for the rest of her life.
Amen.
Who are you this morning? Are you a wise man or a wise woman? Or are you going to be a fool and just sit there? Man, I don't want to be like that. Man, I need God. You need God. You need God as much as you can get a hold of. The more you get God, the more happy you will. The more prayers he'll answer. And the more he'll answer for your loved ones. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to let the pastor come on and take over. You come and pray. And listen, if you're wise, pray.